Julie Burstein. I'm in for Leonard Lopate on this hot summer afternoon. Last week, Facebook bought FriendFeed, a computer platform that keeps track of almost everything you do online. On today's Second Underreported, we look at why Facebook spent $47 million for FriendFeed and how it wants to use it. Joining me now is Chadwick Matlin, a staff writer for Slate's TheBigMoney.com, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the show today.
Thanks for having me.
What is FriendFeed exactly?
The best way to put it is to imagine an RSS reader, so something that syndicates content from elsewhere on the web. People have this for news that they like from certain sites. Google Reader is a very popular one.
But so it comes to you,
exactly.
Basically.
But this is something for your social media footprint. So if you're a blogger and you use Blogspot or WordPress, one of these social content creation forms, or if you have a Flickr account to post your photos, if you have a Facebook, if you have a Twitter, what have you, this aggregates all of your disparate parts of your online life and then puts it on one page and one profile. And this is on FriendFeed.
So it basically makes it easier for you to do everything all at once rather than doing a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there. It pulls it all together.
It makes it easier for others to see what you're doing.
Ah, okay. You still have to go and post on all those different
exactly.
places.
It's really for your friends. So it's so that you don't have to email all of your friends every time that you post something new to Facebook, to Flickr, to Blogger, what have you.
They get an update. So I'm imagining everybody's inbox box will get hundreds of, if you have, 100 friends, you'll be getting these from people all day? Or can you subscribe to the digest version where it just happens once a day?
It's not quite the inbox. It's friendfeed.com that you would go to and look at. So just like now where you go to Facebook, you see a feed of what all of your friends are doing. Whenever you check in, you're going to see what others have done.
And you
if
can
you miss
scroll down
miss
and see, so-and-so has gone to see, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Why is this something that Facebook would be interested in?
So right now, Facebook, if I do something on Facebook, it's what I've done on Facebook, and only my Facebook friends can see it. But when I go and blog, I, Chad, have to go into Facebook and tell my friends that there's a new blog up elsewhere. This, if FriendFeed is adopted, as I think it would be, and we don't know how it's going to be melded into things yet, but it seems likely that they'd adopt this kind of syndication into Facebook. And so my Facebook profile would actually be my super profile. It would be my profile from everything I'm doing across the web.
And it would be able, when you send out a tweet, it would say, Chad has just sent this out. And
exactly.
when you blog, it will say, Chad just posted to
right.
his
Right. And
blog.
What this does for Facebook is it allows them to be the first stop and only stop for people to come and check out what their friends are doing everywhere online. So I don't have to worry about also following someone's blog. I can just follow their Facebook. And it means I'm going to be checking to Facebook.com much more than I am to some other URL.
So for Facebook, the appeal is it will make them more valuable because it can be an aggregator rather than people having to go to all these different places.
Exactly. And if you think about news aggregators like something like the Huffington Post, for example, the reason and Drudge Report, the reason these things are so successful is because then I don't need to check 20 websites at a time. I can check one website and trust them to aggregate for me. And Facebook, in my opinion, is moving towards this kind of model.
Is there already a bridge between Facebook and Twitter? So is there already this kind of connection?
Through Facebook's application platform, your tweets are syndicated onto your Facebook status message. And so it's in some ways a sneak preview of what I think may be happening with a friend.
I'm glad to see you smile when you said your tweets, because always having these conversations.
There's an absurdity latent in all of it.
Yes, in all of this. And there's also a kind of level, as you started talking about this and talking about how it will sort of allow you to aggregate everything in your social life, there does seem to be a blurring between your social life and your life outside to people who don't even know you through your blog or through your tweet. That idea of Facebook might be the insiders, and now it's opening up to the insiders what you send out to the outsiders too.
Exactly, and that's what's interesting is that it basically allows you to be even more connected to your insiders, if you will. And I think, in the blue...
Through the things you send to your outsiders.
Right. In the blue sky thinking of Facebook, I'm sure they think that this is deepening connections and making people even more attached to one another, and therefore they're going to have something to talk about next time they see each other over lunch or what have you.
If they actually see each other.
Yes, and the ideal case scenario, certainly.
How do you see this playing out for the different audiences on Facebook? I think I read that people of my generation are the ones who are adopting it quite frequently now. And then I look at my kids who are also on Facebook all of the time. Do you see FriendFeed as something that might apply differently to, say, a mature audience versus a teenage audience?
Well, it depends, I guess, on how many other social media sites are being used by people on Facebook, right? The stereotype, at least, is that these other sites haven't reached the critical mass of Facebook and what Twitter is approaching, and therefore they wouldn't have as much use for a syndication kind of platform. So it's probably geared towards a more web-savvy, younger skewing audience.
Mm-hmm. Although Flickr, I know, is quite a popular site for a lot of people, and lots of people have blogs these days.
Right, and the question is, you know, how important is that to your social footprint, right? Do you view your blog as a piece of you? Is it only a piece of you online? I mean, the interesting questions of identity obviously arise with
all
this.
And is it a piece of the professional you versus the personal you and all of those different ideas of who, what face you're putting forward?
Exactly.
What will they learn about us through FriendFeed? I mean, is there a way that this is now going to be useful in a marketing sense or in a way of taking our profile and selling it to other people?
So as a business, Facebook's entire purpose is to get as many page views as possible, so for someone to log into it as often as possible, and to cater the most sophisticated advertising profile to advertisers as possible. So therefore, the more information coming in to Facebook, however it's coming in, gives advertisers more keywords to play off of, right? So if I mention, if my blog is called Whole Foods Boycott, which is a big thing going on Facebook right now, they may not have known that I was a Whole Foods boycotter beforehand. And only once, let's say, they syndicate my blog post, would advertisers see, oh, actually, I'm angry at organic food, what have you, but that means I might like organic food in the first place.
Right, but I'm angry for other reasons.
Exactly.
So I posted on my Facebook site that I took my kids to see Ponyo this weekend. So they might be able to say, oh, she's going to see Japanese anime. Maybe she's interested in something else.
Exactly.
And while my kids are posting about other things, they're looking at that to tailor those ads that are in the right-hand side.
Right, exactly. And your kids may see those ads or only you may see those ads. I mean, that's, you know, all back-end algorithms that only people inside the company really know about.
I'm speaking with Chadwick Matlin. He's a staff writer for Slate's TheBigMoney.com, and we're talking about Facebook's purchase of FriendFeed, which happened last week. When you look at this, you know, it's interesting. Often there are these outshoots, and then they pull back together. For us as users, is there a value to these things kind of being conglomerated, or are we better off if things are in various places and we decide to access them?
The answer to that depends on how comfortable you are with the idea of one conglomeration controlling a lot of this. You know, Facebook has proved itself to be somewhat unreliable in the past with privacy things, and they certainly have gotten much better from when they first started with customization of your privacy layers and that kind of thing. But, you know, there are obviously very sincere privacy worries about having all of this rest within one domain, et cetera. And so there's that aspect of things, but then the other is convenience. I mean, I'm not a prolific social media user, but if I was, would I want to be sending emails to all my friends every time I do something online? Not really. I'm also not enough of a self-promoter to really go about doing that. But for those who are, I mean, this is a very useful process.
It's interesting that you write about this stuff, but you don't use it all as much as perhaps other people do.
I struggle very deeply with the idea of how much self-branding goes along, especially as a journalist. Things tend to be about you tweet your latest article, et cetera. And that I think is, you know, it's an interesting cultural change that we're moving to self-marketing, whether or not it's for professional or personal reasons. It's look at this cool thing that I've done. And FriendFeed actually makes you be able to look at even more cool things that you've done.
Yes, and that I also posted saying I was going to be on the show today because I know my friends like to listen to me. Some of them do anyway. And it is very complicated. It's what is important and what is not. And how am I positioning myself? And what does this mean? And do I want to position myself in my personal life?
Right, and I think regardless of your personal preference towards it, it's time probably for us as a society to recognize that people like this, right? I mean, the success of Facebook and Twitter have shown that people want to be giving updates and sharing things with one another. And therefore, there's, you know, we have to start thinking about what that means and what is good for that movement or bad, and is that movement itself good or bad?
What do you see as perhaps the first thing that will happen on Facebook that we may be able to look at and say, ah, that's FriendFeed, now I see what's going on?
If you start to see, and again, this is all conditional, but it seems odd they would acquire the engineers to a company and not try and integrate some of the technology that the engineers created. But if you start to see more things like the Twitter integration, where the status messages can be syndicated from Twitter, if you start to see some of your blog posts being excerpted very easily on Facebook, all you have to do is basically point it to your username or your blog URL or what have you, and then it'll syndicate it in. You don't even have to share password information. At least that's the way it works on FriendFeed now. So I think once you realize Facebook is more outward-looking, you'll realize that it started to integrate some of these things.
That's interesting that right now Facebook is sort of inward-looking. I create my own little group, and then we all look at each other, and that this will allow you to look beyond
and
that.
And for Facebook, when it was first starting, it had to be inward-looking because it needed to create the kind of network. But now, because that's established, it can do some of the more outward-looking.
Well, I've been speaking with Chadwick Matlin. He writes for Slate's TheBigMoney.com, and we're talking about Facebook buying FriendFeed. I'm Julie Burstein. Thank you so much for joining me today on The Leonard Lopez Show.
Thanks.
And we have links to both of the articles that we talked about on our show page. On Friday's show, I'll talk to New Yorker staff writer Ben McGrath about Mike Bloomberg's track record as mayor as he seeks a third term. Then Elliot Gould and Diane Cannon look back on working on the film Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. Also, Judith Matloff tells her story of leaving the Foreign Press Corps and settling down in Harlem. Plus, our latest Please Explain is about how you can train your brain to do things more efficiently. The Leonard Lopez Show is produced by Blakeney Schick, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer. We had help today from Adam Delahunty, Barbara Kahn, and Nicole Silbersack. Debbie Fountain was at the audio controls. I'm Julie Burstein, in for Leonard Lopez. Thanks for listening.